There will be parties again soon, and family gatherings. There'll be parades and sporting events and concerts. To help our communities when they come back together, respond to the 2020 census now. Spend a few minutes online today to impact the next 10 years of healthcare, infrastructure, and education. Respond online today to make America's tomorrow brighter. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Take KUJZ 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go at 95.3thescore.com. KUJZ is 95.3 The Score. And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
What'd I win?
Live from the Papa John studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they
going
to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
And we are back. Welcome, folks, to another day. It happens to have FRI in it, which means it's a Friday. We've actually got a pretty packed show for pandemic programming. Prior to her getting selected, I want you to hear Satu Subbuli from her teleconference. She's a really smart, insightful young woman. I had to actually edit out two segments because there were two reporters on the line from Germany, and they spoke to her in German, and she answered in German. And I'm going to say 99% of our audience would not have understood what was being said. So we'll do that right around the middle of this first segment, so in 10 minutes or so. At 3:30, Tony Pauline, who's part of the Big Believe podcast network, will join us. He's a real hardcore New Yorker and NFL guy. And when he was on last time, I mean, some really, really good insight. And we'll see what he thinks about Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and specifically the whole draft process in general. I'm always interested in true draft analysts, how they view things, what's weighted more, the actual time you saw these guys play in college, what kind of weight do you give the combine, a pro day, senior bowl. So we'll get that. Plus, the teams that are most represented by the NFL fan base here, you know, obviously we're the voice of the Seahawks, the Niners, the Raiders. I'll see what he thinks about Marcus Mariota's circumstance now that he's a member of the Las Vegas Raiders. I think I may have it now. No promises. If you want in, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Of course, now we're less than an hour away from the WNBA draft and the first one, then two, then three Oregon Ducks to hear their name in the first round. So that's pretty exciting. We'll have a tool shed. Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated will join us at 5:30. He has a really special issue out. Ducks number one rock star, first of a four-part series on Duck rock star athletes, and a great picture of the south side of the tower at the new Hayward Field is a photograph of Steve Prefontaine. And I will not give it away. We'll save it for who came out as the four big Oregon rock stars. I bet you can come really, really, really close. There are some great shots in there. Prefontaine at Marshfield with the really short cropped hair. And in a conversation he was having with head coach Bill Bowerman, and just some awesome photography. So yeah, this is a fun issue. I contributed, which you know, Prefontaine running with a Team USA jersey on, the statue of him, the comings and goings as far as grad transfers, and the news that came down about an hour ago. We were talking earlier this week with Matt Prehm how, you know, Oregon was going to have 7 returning players, which would have been the most since 6 came back as part of which would grow into the Final Four team. Francis Okoro, name in the transfer portal. So a little thinning of the front line, but with Nefali Dante. What I wrote about was, first of all, and I called it an actual event, and I talked about the W and NBA prospects for Oregon and Peyton Pritchard. So, fun stuff. We'll have JT on at 5:30. What else is going on around here today? Did you guys hear? By the way, unique times, trying times, dangerous times, controversial times, unique times. So an adult website has offered $1 million to Joe Buck to provide live play-by-play commentary for camera shows for blind users. So you cannot make this stuff up. So Buck was doing an interview with Sports Illustrated, and he says, well, he's qualified as he's been practicing calls most of his life, but he doesn't just want to take that job without a proper open audition. So he says they should also consider Jim Nance, Al Michaels, Mike Tirico, and if any one of them say no, he says he's never been more flattered. And I love the fact that he said, and my dad would be really proud. Wow. Just W-O-W. For one of our potential digression conversations, the passing of actor Brian Dennehy, who did a lot of great work. I mean, he's 81 years old. He passed at 81 years old. I mean, a lot of people might think of him as the leader of the aliens in Cocoon. But he had some really outstanding roles. He was, I think, the sheriff in the town that won John Rambo first pass through. Jeff Schwartz, I mentioned yesterday, didn't get a lot of chance to talk about it. Penned an article on Justin Herbert's NFL prospects. If you go to my Twitter account at SportsTalk953, the cover of the back page of today's New York Post is a picture of Sabrina Ionescu, and it says simply "Lady Liberty." And it's a picture of her in her duck jersey. Get ready, New York. Sabrina Ionescu is coming to town, ready to torch. See what they did here? Lady Liberty. And there's also a story that right under that, which I went and checked out because kind of slipped under the radar, that CBS decided not to renew the contract of Dan Fouts, which is stupid. I don't know. I don't know who's replacing him. I don't care who's replacing him. They have a lot of broadcast teams. They're not going to find a better analyst than that guy. There's going to be some good ones. He is walking knowledge. Not only is he a great analyst and a versatile broadcaster, don't forget, there was a time he did play-by-play as well. That's not an automatic transition. Somebody said Dennehy was also in Walking Tall. Didn't watch that. Buford Pusser. I've heard of it. I know it's pretty popular, but me no get. So anyway, what else do we have? John Heyman of the MLB Network. with this 25-man roster for every single solitary MLB team. I did it again. Like I said, I'm using the word therapeutic because I've really enjoyed going back exactly 1 year to the day. And so April 17th, 2019, I'll take a trip down memory lane as to what happened in the NBA playoffs, the chase for the Stanley Cup, and of course, the baseball diamond. A year ago today was actually a Wednesday, so it was a full slate. And, you know, that's one of the things that has been stolen from us. And you've heard me talk about it many, many times over the years, that one of my favorite things about this time of year, when you have the NBA and the NHL playoffs, and then you get a full slate of Major League Baseball, and on a night like tonight, you would have also had the WNBA draft. Fast forward a week, you'd had 2 days of the NFL draft. I mean, it's just for a show like this and for sports fans, it's just it's literally a delight. All right. I mentioned that tonight is the WNBA draft, and all three who are guaranteed to be drafted, Sabrina and Satu Savali and Ruthie Hebert, were kind enough to make themselves available to the media via teleconference. So here's what Satu had to say in meeting with this group of reporters via the magic of technology, coming at you, 95-3, the score.
Months ago, you kind of joked about the validity of mock drafts and they're more for entertainment than anything else, but you're consistently picked number two to Dallas. If you go that high, what would that mean to you? And would that kind of validate your decision to go to the WNBA early?
It would mean so much to me. You know, just being viewed as such a good player, you know, gives me just so much joy and happiness, but it also shows that it pays off to, you know, work hard every day and just keep grinding. So, as I said, it means a lot to me. And I mean, the mock drafts are still mock drafts, but yeah, I would, I mean, I'm just so blessed to be able to be on number two.
Obviously, since you guys weren't able to celebrate with a championship into the season in the big dance, how much will tomorrow be a celebration for the three of you together on such a grand stage and really representing Oregon basketball for all the great things you guys accomplished in your 3 years there?
Mm-hmm. It means it's a big accomplishment for Oregon basketball, and I'm sad that I won't be able to be with Ruthie and Sab, but I know that we're all together in heart and we'll text and – I don't know. It just means so much to be able to enter the draft with these two. And I'm super excited. I know they are excited. So just having this as the finish mark of our last season and the beginning point of the next step means so much. It's just finally a point where you can be like, okay, this is the new beginning.
Hello, Satu, Jerry Ducks Illustrated. Talked to Coach Gray a few weeks ago. He said that he was going to play your sister in the tournament. And you knew that, right? And thus, did that affect your decision a little bit, thinking you were going to get to play together, or were you going to leave either way? And I'm sure you're very disappointed you didn't get to play with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I never went in with the mindset, oh, she has to play. And so I always counted for she's not going to play this year, so it wouldn't pressure neither of us. So my decision wouldn't be influenced, and also her decision, you know, to rush back in and play, because that's what she did last year and she retorted. But we always went step by step, and she was on a really good journey. And, you know, maybe she would have played the last four games or not. But I know, you know, it's behind us now, and I'm looking forward to her stepping on the field next year.
Satu, I was talking to Kelly yesterday. He was saying that a couple of weeks ago you were just having whether it was second thoughts or just reconsidering the decision a little bit, and you hadn't signed with an agent yet at that time. Can you just take me through just the thought process you were having at the time and why ultimately you chose to stuck with your decision? Was professionalism and an upcoming shoe deal and the prospect of being in Dallas, where obviously you are now and Jalen is, how much did that just weigh into this decision-making process?
I was really unsure about everything. I feel like the whole world was like that. You know, I didn't know what should be my next step, if it's the right decision to go pro or not, due to all the circumstances. I mean, we still don't know if there will be a WNBA season. So it was kind of risky. But on the other hand, I also thought that I was ready to leave. And this is part of being a professional. And if it's during these times and these uncertainties, I will experience them now as a professional. So I still feel ready to take the challenge and accept it as it is. But I also know, you know, I can still do some things such as working out and staying in shape, the same things that I would do as I would be in college. But I had the luxury of, you know, having an alternative decision of returning back to college, and I didn't take it because ultimately I'm just ready for a new step and a new challenge. So it hasn't changed too much in terms of my attitude towards readiness.
Yes. Hey, Satu, Sam Finley, Eugene Magazine. You talked a little bit about working out. How have you been training during this whole lockdown craziness, and what will you remember most about your time at Oregon?
Mm-hmm. I've been staying really in shape with yoga, with Chelsea Knight Yoga. She's here in Eugene, but she offers online courses, so I've been doing a bunch of them, and there's conditioning involved. Our strength coach gave us workouts on bridge that we can either do with kettlebells or not. And then I've been running a lot, and you know, basketball, you can dribble a basketball anywhere. But then a couple of times I've been able to visit a gym alone by myself and just work out there. But it's definitely not the same like it used to be. But I think the most important thing is just staying in shape and being strong.
It's not to, you know, the way your name has kind of skyrocketed up these mock drafts, you know, you can debate validity, but I mean, when did it start to become real for you that, you know, the idea of going to the WNBA was not just going to the WNBA, it was being number two in conversation with Sabrina there right at the top of the draft? I mean, when did that start to sink in that, you know, you were that sought after by the WNBA?
I feel like the first time it really clicked was when I sent in my papers to the WNBA office, and I really waited up until the last day I was able to do that because, you know, I was just going back and forth. And once I submitted these papers, it hit me and I was like, oh my God, I hope I made the right decision. And I really hope that I'll go into there, you know, with a little more certainty than right now. But yeah, that's when it clicked. So that was the first time for sure.
Hey, Satu. First off, you haven't gotten any guarantee from Dallas about that being where you'll be selected. And then secondly, have you thought much about what the fit there might be with and kind of what their team looks like right now?
No guarantee. But yes, I've definitely thought about it. I've looked at the roster and they're a really young team. And I mean, I would love to join them and just compete, build a new program, basically, and just, you know, do some new things.
Hey, Satu. One thing about this Oregon team that did so much in your time there was you had an impact beyond basketball. You know, I know you and Sabrina and others even touched on global issues. How important, now that you're moving to the professional level, is that for you as you continue to build your name to become more than just a basketball player?
Mm-hmm. I will always aspire to be more than a basketball player because I feel like I've elevated myself so much that people listen to me, and I have that platform. And I, in my opinion, athletes should use these platforms to make new things possible, to accomplish new things, but also raise awareness to certain issues that we all are facing in our communities. So I will definitely continue that. You know, basketball is not the only thing people will hear from me. And I just want to accomplish much more than sports, which is, I mean, everyone can do what they want, and to pay attention to your environment and your surroundings, because you're human first, you're not an athlete first. So yeah.
Hey, Satu, back when like the world was different and you guys all thought you were going to have a normal draft, did you and your teammates ever kind of like talk or have a vision together of what you thought that night would be like? And just now, like, are you guys going to be on like a Zoom call together or like on the phone? Like, just how's it going to work for you?
We definitely had a vision. I mean, Mignon and Taylor, my roommate Keely, they were ready to fly out to New York, and we were ready, you know, to have a good weekend there. But with everything changing, that's not happening. I mean, I'm still here with my roommates, and so at least I'm together with them, but it's just going to be different that we're all not physically together. We'll have a Zoom call. We will stay virtually connected. So I guess that's a good point. But our original plans obviously looked a lot different, and some of my teammates even wanted to fly out to New York, which meant so much.
It's Nyara.
Sorry.
That's okay. No problem. I wanted to ask, you spoke earlier about some of the uncertainty that obviously everyone is experiencing, but particularly in your situation, opting to leave school early. Have you thought any into the future about perhaps contingency plans if the WNBA season is more delayed than originally anticipated, or does it commence at all this year?
I would start, I mean, if really nothing happens, I would even start studying for my law test that I have to take before going to law school, just to keep myself busy. But I also feel like there's so many more things that I could deal with other than school. I mean, I'm going to graduate. I have a major and a minor after this summer, and I'm going to be taking online classes till about July. So I'll be busy until then. But after that, I'll probably take a little break from school. And then if there's still no sports, I mean, I'm just going to start studying for law school.
Hey, Satu. Love the shirt.
Thank you.
I know how close you are with your family. I'm just wondering what tomorrow night will look like for you and for them, and seeing, you know, having them see their daughter's dream come true.
Yeah. They're all so proud and excited already. I've got so many texts and, you know, just DMs from my family the whole time. They're like, when is it going? How can we watch it? You know, sometimes it's hard to access at ESPN overseas, but I hope this time it's going to be possible. So they're all going to tune in. I'm also going to have my family directly there with me on a Zoom call. So in case it doesn't work out, they'll be there. They're just super excited and can't wait. I mean, it's going to be 1 a.m. in the morning there, or at night, however you want to see it, and they're all going to watch. So I'm happy about that. They'll be there.
Satu, you mentioned that you have issues that you're interested in other than basketball. Can you name just one that's nearest and dearest to you that you might want to briefly suggest?
I would definitely say civil rights of Black and African American people. And I would also include immigration policies and problems more in Europe, but also in America.
Satu Sabali's teleconference meeting with the media, obviously, prior to today's WNBA draft. Back with more 95.3 The Score.
Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
It's funny because if, you know, if I were her, or I should say if it was back in 2002 and New York had the number one pick, I would have been thrilled for the draft. You know, I'm from New York, and that was actually, I was like praying that Seattle would trade the pick, like no lie. It all worked out. Don't get me wrong. I love Seattle now. But I'm excited for her. She gets to get picked by, she gets to live in Brooklyn now.
That's an awesome soundbite. Sue Bird, a legend. You know, she's in the conversation. Knowing what Sabrina is going through, as everybody knew she was going to be the top pick 18 years ago when the WNBA was, you know, still kind of in its infancy. And we are T-minus until Sabrina joins that list of number one overall picks in the WNBA. How about Satu, by the way? Might be pursuing law, another degree. I told you earlier that I had to edit the interview because there were two questions from overseas that were asked to her and then answered by her in German. I think quite often, and it's, you know, sometimes as a fan, you don't get an opportunity to delve into the person because, you know, you have a life, you have a family, you have a job, you've got hobbies. Well, I guess we used to have social lives and do other things aside from pay attention to sports. So you mostly observe the player. But you hear, I heard them all talk this week, Sabrina and Ruthie and Satu, and it's like, they're so great at what they do. This team was so great. They were going to the final game. Sorry, they just were. And the type of people they reveal themselves to be almost dwarf the kind of players they are. And it's like, who does that? What a story. What a story. We ain't soon going to be forgetting these times, folks. So let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Look forward to next week. Talk some NFL draft. Our guest is a returning champion who chatted us up this past November when we lived in a different world. He's an analyst for ProFootballNetwork.com, a part of this terrific Believe podcast network. Fellow huge fan of the almighty Led Zeppelin. On Twitter, find him at Tony Pauline. TP joins us. How's life for you during these most unique times, sir?
Yeah, unique is one way to put it. I'm in New York. I'm 40 minutes north of Midtown Manhattan. Now, you know, it gets more bizarre by the day. The irony is I'm kind of used to self-quarantine or home quarantine for the months of March and April anyway. Because I'm usually trying to get as much information on pro day reports or individual workouts or who teams are talking to. And while some of that obviously was, you know, kind of came to a grinding halt the middle of March, there's still plenty of tape to watch, reports to write, and people to call. So, you know, I'm used to this March and April. Of course, what the heck I'm going to do a week from Sunday, I have no idea. You'd probably get a better grip of it. Get a better grip of it at that point in time.
You know, as a media member, we've all been obsessed with quality content. So, like you mentioned, this has been normal for you. But as just a sporting event, a schedule, a target to look forward to, I mean, isn't it nice to have a little bit of normalcy now for the next week?
Yeah, well, absolutely, because absolutely nothing else is going on. And I think part of the storyline for next week is just the presentation of the draft itself, because, you know, as I've said multiple times in multiple interviews, I go back to the days when the draft was at the Sheraton and there were maybe 50, 60 people upstairs. And we've seen what a fan spectacle it's turned into. And really, what we're going to see next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, compared to what we were supposed to experience out in Vegas, which I was going to be a part of, is going to be different. So it'll be interesting to see the presentation, if there are any glitches, you know, with teams getting their picks in, if there's any glitches with teams in their war rooms, the way they're going to be set up, which I'm sure we'll find out about later on. That's going to be a very interesting storyline.
Yeah, back to the days when the Jets fans booed every single pick, starting with Jeff Lagerman, I think.
Well, I think it goes back much further than that, and they still boo the picks today. So the only difference is the draft is not in New York, so you don't hear the boos as loudly at the event itself.
Oh, I love it. All right, let's start at the top. From what you've heard, any reason to think the Bengals will deviate away from Joe Burrow off that historic season? And what is your read on how his game will translate to playing on Sundays?
You know, not unless somebody comes up with a huge package of picks, excuse me, and offers them something off the wall for that first selection. A couple people said to me last week that Burrow to Cincinnati is a done deal. Now, really, nothing's a done deal until the very end, especially with the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, I like Burrow, but I think people are too, you know, they're looking at it incredibly optimistic without the downside. He had a great year in 2019. The brighter the light shined, the better he played. He's got great moxie. I love his confidence. But he really only did it for 1 year. In fact, when you look at it, his college career kind of paralleled what we saw at Baker Mayfield. And to me, that is worrisome. He can overcome it. You know, I think he's got to get hooked up with the right organization. I don't know if the Bengals are the right organization. You know, he's an easy guy to root for. I hope he does well. But I just think when you look at it in totality, there is a bit of downside there with Joe Burrow.
Obviously, folks out here focused on Justin Herbert, who had a nice year, some inconsistencies, what we've referred to as empty possessions, but he finished strong, a good combine, senior bowl. He checks a lot of the right boxes, strength, size, head. What's your read on likely destinations and how well his game transfers to the pros?
Could go as early as the fifth pick to Miami, sixth pick to the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't think he slides, although it's a possibility. You know, the fact is this, is he had a good Senior Bowl, but the Senior Bowl setup was picture-perfect for Justin Herbert because all he had to do was throw the ball accurately to his receivers. There were no, you know, high-pressure drives. There was no consistent urgency to move the chains or move the offense down the field. I think it's the same thing with the combine. I think you can make the argument that Justin Herbert is the complete package as far as when you look at the arm strength, you look at the physical skills, you even look at the poise that he shows, the ability to make plays in the pocket as a passer or outside the pocket or pick up yardage with his legs. But, you know, you talk about empty drives, and to my opinion, that's gone on for 2 years. Really, that I've seen a lot of that since his sophomore season. If you remember that terrific, it was a Saturday night game against Wyoming when everybody was watching Josh Allen. And yep. After the game, everyone came away most impressed with Justin Herbert. I haven't seen a lot of progress in his game since then. I've seen a guy who, whether you're watching game film or whether you're watching a game on TV, when it's all over, you're like, wow, I think he should have done better, or he could have done better, or he could have done more. Constantly last year, I mean, everything needed to be working in order for Oregon to win. Not just Justin Herbert, the running game, the defense, the special teams, and people will say, well, that's how you win football games, and that's true, but that's not what a franchise quarterback, especially in the college level, is supposed to be able to do. He's supposed to be able to carry his team a la the way Joe Burrow did this year at LSU. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be hopeful for if you select Justin Herbert, but you also have to be very cautious as well.
Talking with Tony Pauline, ProFootballNetwork.com, the Believe Podcast Network. You know, a general question centered on, we watch these guys in games 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Then, like you said, we get the combine, pro day. So that process as a draft analyst, how do you weigh things? Game action with the bullets flying? How do you determine a prospect's true value come this time of year?
As far as as I'm concerned, I want to see consistency and I want to see development in a player's game. We saw development in Joe Burrow's game. I don't know that we've seen a lot of development in Justin Herbert's game. The reason that the Senior Bowl and the Combine and the Pro Days are important are what happens is they're stepping out of the realm of their comfort area at the college they were in or the college system they played in. And usually college systems are tailored towards the player's strength, and now they're asked to go to the Senior Bowl and make NFL passes, to play in an NFL system with tight ends and tight and a fullback. You go to the combine and you have to make NFL-type throws, the deep outs. The receivers are running NFL type of routes. So they're out of their comfort zone. A lot of times what will happen in pro day and individual workouts is the teams that are working out those players, although we didn't see them this year for the most part, the teams that are working out those players may ask a quarterback like Justin Herbert to throw passes that are specific to their offense, what they're going to be doing on Sunday. So really what happens is you go from a guy who's a really good college player, and then you have to project if he's a good NFL prospect. And it doesn't always work out because it's so much easier when you're a better athlete, you're bigger, you're faster, stronger on the college level than it is in the NFL.
Great take. One non-draft subject I want to get to. We saw the end of the Marcus Mariota era in Tennessee. He's now with the Vegas Raiders. I've been joking. He's like the nice kid in high school who's falling in with the wrong group. He's going to start cutting class and smoking cigarettes. What do you make of the move, how he fits Gruden's offense, and if you see the competition with Derek Carr as 50-50?
Well, that's why he signed with Vegas. I mean, he was going to sign with a team where he was either going to be the number one or he was going to compete for the number one. Is it 50-50? I think it's probably more like 70-30 in favor of Derek Carr. But the fact that Derek Carr has been inconsistent, if Marcus Mariota plays well, I think the tables can turn immediately. You know, it was not a good situation for him in Tennessee. A change of scenery hopefully is a good thing. But my concern is what you said. What did you say? You said he's a nice guy or he's a nice boy who gets hooked up with the wrong crowd. That's the problem with Marcus Mariota. The problem with Justin Herbert. They don't really show, they're physically gifted guys, but they don't show that killer instinct. You know, they don't show that great leadership skill. They're not out there screaming and yelling at people. when things go wrong, which is probably part of the problem. You know, there's a fine line between being too laid back at the quarterback position and really being a leader that teams want.
I want to get to some of the specific teams. Obviously, here in Eugene, well, you don't know that. We're the voice of the Seahawks. You know, they've made some minor signings to improve their pass rush. They re-upped their tackle, Mike Iupati, for a year on the offensive line. When you look at this team, who always seems to find their way into the mix, Tony, what pops as far as what they should address?
They're going to address the lines of scrimmage, both the offensive and defensive lines, and they may add a receiver. Now, a lot depends on if anything breaks on the Clowney situation before draft day. I don't think anything like that's going to happen. I think what they'll probably try and do is really look to move down either into the late part of round one or out of the first round altogether. The Seahawks, from what I hear, they've got 16 players that they feel are elite players in this year's draft. And then literally from the middle part of round one to the middle part of round three, they don't see a huge difference in the talent level in those players. So they would rather move out of where they are in the latter part of round one, move down maybe into round two, collect extra selections, address the offensive line, address the defensive line, and probably add a receiver at one point.
A couple final thoughts for Tony Pauline of the Believe Podcast Network. We know the Niners came within generating some fourth quarter offense from winning it all. They had for a target for Garoppolo, Emmanuel Sanders for a year. He's with the Saints. Debo Samuel came on as a rookie, so kind of thin. Joe Staley's getting old. They have two first round picks. What do you think their focus is?
Unless an elite left tackle falls to them with that first pick, I think they're going to look receiver to get one of the top two guys if they're there. I think they're another team that would like to move out specifically with that 31st pick and then address offensive line later on. I think they're in a good spot. I think, you know, you want to get younger. Is school, first of all, the answer at left tackle? He did well when he came in at certain portions last year, so they got to decide that. They do need some help on the interior offensive line. I think that they can come out of this draft with a good receiver, which they need. And if they trade down, if they can't get a guy like Cesar Ruiz at the end of the first round and he may be gone, if they trade down and then get some interior offensive lineman later on or with those extra picks, or with the pick that they trade down, I think that would be a major victory. When you're a team like the Niners, you're just looking to add some final pieces, or with the case with Emmanuel Sanders, you know, pieces that you may have lost during free agency.
And lastly, I asked you about Mariota, but the Raiders in general, who really weren't really good on either side of the ball, I think coincidentally they were 24th in points scored and points allowed. They also pretty weak at wide receiver. They picked 12th. The defense left a lot to be desired, in particular the pass defense. So how do you see the Raiders approaching the 2020 draft?
Well, you know, again, they got multiple first-round picks. I think for the most part they did a good job last year with their draft. Cleveland Farrell was a bit of a surprise pick. I do think that they will look receiver. I think if they, pass rusher is another, or linebackers is another sort of situation. They got some decent young pass rushers. I think a cornerback is also something that they would consider at some point within the first, second, third round.
All right. Hey, TP, great stuff as always. He's an analyst for ProFootballNetwork.com, a part of the Believe Podcast Network. He'll be listening to some Zeppelin during the downtime, repping the 914. Appreciate your time, your input. You and your family, be well, be safe, and we hope to catch up again down the road, Tony. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. Everyone have a nice weekend.
All right, take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And a quick reminder that as we go through this difficult time, there are folks out there who, struggling as well. And you've heard us talk many times about the restaurant industry. And, you know, sports bars are closed in our area, as they should be. But we've got a couple of places that are able to serve you either food or food and beverage. Beer Garden, beergardenme.com online. You could go to the order now button. They are offering pickup and delivery for food and beverages. And they're located in the Witt, right on 6th Avenue right there. Then you have Public House on H Street in Springfield. They're open till 7 as well. And you could order online. That's pickup and delivery, food and drinks. Again, the order now button, publichousehub.com. You could order from the Beer Hall, Pig and Turnip, La Granada, the Shield Cafe, Lonnie Moku. And like I said, a lot of options, and it's a great way to help out some outstanding local businesses if you yourself are getting through this okay so far. And for Colby and his wonderful people, we really appreciate their support, and I'm hoping a lot of us can offer our support during this difficult time. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll have a somewhat abbreviated final segment of Crunch Time coming at you next. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk, your home for the Coors Light scoreboard and the refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
You know, sometimes it's hard to access at ESPN overseas, but I hope this time it's going to be possible. So they're all going to tune in. I'm also going to have my family directly there with me on a Zoom call. So in case it doesn't work out, they'll be there. They're just super excited and can't wait. I mean, it's going to be 1 a.m. in the morning there or at night, however you want to see it. And they're all going to watch. So I'm happy about that. They'll be there.
Satu Sabali meeting with the media via teleconference, and talking about how her family overseas will be a part of today's process, which we are now counting it down. The draft starts at 4 o'clock. I have ESPN on the monitor in my spare room, doing the show at home these days. And today we decided the heck with it. Borrowed a set of hair trimmers from my kids. And my wife gave me a haircut today. I was getting to the point where I was going to be able to audition for that 70s show, and which would have been cool in the 70s. But and you got to love my wife, Kathy. She's like, I'm not just going to start on your hair. Over the last couple days, she found out the type of clippers, where it needed to be set, whether it's an inch, a half inch. And then she watched videos and basically sat me down. And I get my hair cut short because Mr. Patience here, the less time I have to spend in a barber's chair, which I usually just get them to go zzz, zzz, zzz. I'm usually not in the chair more than 8-10 minutes. But Mr. Patience sat there, and I got to tell you, I'm going to give her an A, not an A-. And she's not listening to this because she's had enough of me, and could you blame her? But she nailed it. She made me look semi-human. Need I say more? All right, 284-8571 to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Let's bring in Fred. Fred, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good. So what's the longest you ever had your hair? Did you get a little like a hippie looking for a while or back in the day?
Oh, yeah. I had a 70s fro for sure. It was, yeah, the women avoided me like the plague more than they would now.
Well, you get long enough, you get a mullet again. But hey, we're asking. So, question: what if you had to rewatch the reruns? What would be like your top, you know, five games to watch over the weekend on the reruns? You know, any historically doesn't matter. Just list on the side. Just any five games that you'd watch. Just you know, because nothing else is on.
You know, earlier this week we were talking about could we throw boxing matches in there?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, so the 81 fight, September of 1981, Thomas Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard is must-see. I'd go back, yeah, probably watch the 1977 World Series Game 6 of the Yankees. It never gets old seeing Oregon dismantle Florida State. I probably watched the Knicks win the 70 championship, beating that great Lakers team. It could be a really long list. So the Islanders winning the Stanley Cup in 1983, beating Gretzky and that great Edmonton team. So, hell, I could watch McEnroe versus Bork in the 80 Wimbledon and U.S. Open finals. So, yeah, there's a million rabbit holes to go down.
That's a robust list. It's amazing how everybody's coming up with these things to watch. You know, was there that XFL, the Potter Puff League, where the gals get out and play their, you know, the – what year was that? Remember that?
The Powder Puff League?
Yeah, football. They played like touch football in lingerie, you know, Victoria's Secret stuff.
I think I might have missed that one, Fred.
Might have been European. I don't know. But anyway, well, maybe you can look it up. But all right, hey, thanks for the start of the list. We're going to do some watching this weekend.
I'm telling you, Hearns Leonard, 81, is one of the greatest fights ever. You'll love it. 14 rounds. All right. Thanks, Fred. Fredo. Coach Graves just sent out a great tweet. He said he's got a pretty good idea how this WNBA draft is going to play out, but he's still nervous as heck, and he needs a walk. He posted that 23 minutes ago. So far, they've shown live shots of Sabrina at her home in Walnut Creek. I think we heard in the interview that Satu was in Dallas. Is Ruthie back in Alaska? We listened and I want you to hear some of what she said a little later on in the program, maybe in the 4 o'clock hour. But yeah, I mean, when you think about the history of this program, well, first of all, there was no WNBA draft until the mid to latter part of the 90s, and they've had some Ducks go in the second round. But from that to a class that's come along in the last 4 years to have three not only first-round picks but maybe top 10 picks, although I guess the first round of the draft only goes 12 deep because there are only 12 WNBA teams. But if you haven't, either check my Twitter feed at SportsTalk953 or Google New York Post back page today. There is a the New York Post, truth be told, is not exactly a bastion, as it were. It could be very sensationalistic, but the sports has always been great. And the back page is a picture of Sabrina in her Duck uniform, and the headline is "Get Ready, NY. Sabrina Ionescu is coming to town, ready to torch the WNBA," and it says Lady Liberty. It's awesome, man. Check it out. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. The 4 o'clock hour, the draft. Sports Talk is next. 95.3, The Score.
But, man, y'all got a coconut up.